Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca Tagg, and this is session 43. Today, we're going to talk about a type of therapy called PCIT for short, or parent-child interaction therapy. It is an evidence-based behavioral parent training program that was developed by Dr. Sheila Eiberg, and it is a way of working with parents and young children, typically between the ages of 3 and 6, although there is some extension above and below those ages based on kind of appropriateness for the child and parent. And I want to talk about PCIT for a couple reasons. One is that I've seen some discussion in some of the online groups about or questions about PCIT. And this is a modality of therapy that I had specific training in during my pre-doc internship in Southern California. And it's fantastic. So I want to talk a little bit more about it, and then maybe even some pros and cons of how it may overlap or align with some of the behavioral principles that we use as behavior analysts. I think sometimes as behavior analysts, we think that we are the only ones who are working on behavior change protocols or behavior change programs that have any evidence base. And I wonder sometimes if it's that sort of faulty thinking, which is one of the things that has contributed to kind of the saying about BCBAs don't play well in the sandbox, right? Or that idea that we don't collaborate with other professionals very well. And even that faulty idea that we own the science of behavior change, when in reality, we are a fairly new field, and there are other fields that have been effectively using different protocols and programs to help change behaviors for the better of the kids and families we serve, or even adults, I guess. Me coming from the side of pediatrics and family, that tends to be my go-to language-wise, and I recognize that it is not just occurring in pediatrics. So I wanted to talk a little bit about PCIT. As I mentioned, it's for kids on average between the ages of 3 and 6, and it's really great. There's a strong evidence base. If you go to the show notes, I'll put a link there of some of the studies that have showed the effectiveness of PCIT. And again, this is just a brief overview. As I mentioned, I did almost a full year of training, which was the BST model, right? So I watched somebody else do it. I had direct feedback. I got my binder of protocols. Then somebody coached me. And then when I was getting stuck in certain areas, I would get corrective feedback. We'd do role playing. And so really, it was a great training program for me to learn how to implement PCIT and to do so with fidelity so that the families I was working with would be able to have those really great outcomes that are associated with this method. So PCIT is great for kids who are showing what's often called externalizing behaviors, which in psychology language or mental health language is really those behaviors that we can see. A lot of times the distinction is made between internalizing behaviors and externalizing behaviors. And externalizing behaviors are things like verbal aggression, property destruction, possibly some non-compliance. So those behaviors that we can easily see that are often considered maladaptive behaviors. Internalizing behaviors often refers to things like anxiety or depression, and so those are usually private events. So it could be negative self-talk, rumination, different things like that that are internal to the individual and so harder to see. So PCIT starts with, so as I mentioned, it's the parent coaching, being coached by the therapist. And the therapist often coaches the parent from behind a one-way mirror. So the parent is with the child in the PCIT room, which is set up very specifically with specific materials available. And the parent has, it's called a bug in the ear, but it's essentially like a speaker that they have in their ear. And then the therapist is on the other side of that one-way mirror, wearing a headset that when you speak into it, the parent can hear. And so it's really coaching the parent through interaction with their child to be able to learn and master and practice different sets of skills. And PCIT is really divided into two different sort of pieces of the intervention. One is child-directed intervention, which is often referred to as CDI, and then the other one is parent-directed intervention, or PDI. And so in CDI, that's that child-directed intervention, the parents are really taught to use what's often considered traditional play therapy skills to enhance the relationship between the parent and the child. So focusing on kind of in behavior analysis, we would really call that pairing and building rapport. And the skills of CDI are really behavior analytic in nature. So they spell pride. So praising, reflecting, imitating, describing, enthusiasm, and then providing this attention that, you know, so many of our kids want. And so when you're teaching the parents about each of these skills, and so when you're teaching the parent about the praise, you really focus on giving that specific praise, right? Which we do in behavior analysis, that idea of nice job cleaning up the toys, so that the child knows exactly what it is that they've done that's being praised. And reflecting is sort of a great active listening skill. So kind of saying back to the child what the child just said, right? So kind of a way to check for understanding. The thing that comes up so frequently in CDI is that sometimes when we're reflecting back to somebody, we say it in a way that it's like a question, right? So if somebody tells me that, you know, they're wanting to go to the mall, then I might say, "You want to go to the mall?" And so my voice goes up at the end, and that is a question. And questions usually require a response. And so what we spend a lot of time teaching parents to do is to have their voice come down at the end. I actually had kind of a difficult time saying it like a question because I've practiced so much making sure that my voice comes down at the end for a statement. So let's say the child said that they want to go to the mall. I would respond with, "You want to go to the mall?" Right? See how my voice comes down at the end. It's a statement. Oftentimes when we give a question, there's an expectation of a response. And particularly when we're talking about kiddos with language delays and when we're talking about kids with behavior trouble or, you know, a history of frequent and intensive undesirable behaviors, there may be a language delay involved there, right? And so if we ask a question which suggests or implies a response is needed of somebody with a language delay, that can actually set the occasion for more occurrences of undesirable behavior. So we want to reflect back. There's also imitating. And when I would modify the PCIT protocol, which is also permitted, right, for kids with ASD or kids who don't have as much language, I would emphasize that imitation piece because there may not be as much language. And, you know, so that imitation can help join with the individual. So if the child is playing with cars, I play with cars. If the child is patting on the desk, I pat on the desk, right? It's another way to join with the individual. And remember, CDI is all about strengthening the relationship. The other part of CDI is describing, which I often would coach parents, think of yourself as kind of narrating your child's behavior. I would say put your best Morgan Freeman voice on, right? And so as the child is playing with cars, let's say, I would be describing what the child is doing. So it might go something like this. You're grabbing the red car and you're making it drive down the road. Then it jumps over the blue car, and you're smiling when it does that, right? So I'm simply describing what the child is doing. that can also help you connect to the child and, again, enhance that relationship while also modeling great language for the kids that may benefit from that. Enthusiasm is the next part. And this, I think, was an important and powerful part for parents going through the PCIT protocol, because when you have a little guy or gal who is so frequently engaging in these disruptive behaviors, we often find ourselves correcting that child so much that you forget or you get away from just being with the child and being really excited to just be a parent, right? How many parents have you seen who are kind of taking on that role of being teacher, trainer, and therapist? And so sometimes that pulls them out of that role of just really enjoying their child. And so really coaching parents to be enthusiastic and enjoy the time with the child helps to build and strengthen that relationship while also kind of doing some repairing to what may have previously been happening between the parent and the child dyad due to those challenging behaviors. And those are the skills, again, those pride skills that round out the CDI portion of PCIT. Then when we look at that PDI or that parent-directed interaction, that's when parents are really learning skills for improving the child's compliance and decreasing those disruptive behaviors that are often what brought the family or at least that parent-child dyad in for treatment. And so PDI skills are giving good commands, praising compliance, using timeout in a chair for non-compliance, and then establishing house rules that are going to stand within the family's own home, so outside of the setting. These skills are, again, directly taught to the parent during a session and then and role played. And then the parent comes back with the child. And again, they go in the room with the one-way mirror. And the therapist is coaching the parent through use of those PDI skills in the same way that the parent was coached through the CDI skills. And the way that the compliance gaining skills are taught are very behavior analytic in nature. And so they align, again, in my mind, with a lot of the techniques and skills of behavior analysis that many of us as behavior analysts are pretty familiar with. One of the other ways that PCIT is like behavior analysis or shares some of the traits of behavior analysis is data. And you know, we love data. So oftentimes, or I guess not often, but sometimes you may videotape a session so that you can get feedback from a colleague and do some IOA or inter-observer agreement. But also when you first start out with PCIT, there's a standardized coding system that you get a baseline for the parent. And then halfway through treatment, it's called the DPIC, and you use the same coding system again so that you're kind of getting a data point for after intervention, or I guess in the middle of intervention. And you probably think, well, two data points, that's not even a trend. And you're absolutely right. And that's not the only data either. There's at the beginning of every PCIT session, there is sort of a session where, or a section of the session where data is collected on the behaviors that the child and the parent are demonstrating, and that's plotted so that you can look at performance each and every week across different skills. And so you want to increase those specific skills that I had mentioned, you know, the praise. So if you're in CDI, those pride skills, so praising, summarizing, reflecting, and imitation. And while you're increasing or working to increase those skills, you're also working to decrease other skills that may compete with those behaviors. So things like asking questions or giving commands. Because remember, when you're in CDI, it's really about enhancing that relationship between the parent-child dyad. Now, when you go into PDI, there's some different behaviors that you're working to increase and then others that you're looking to decrease that help set the stage for good quality compliance training, really, and that's not the right language to use, working towards compliance, but it's not compliance over all else. It's really about only giving commands when you're able to follow through with them and only giving commands that are really necessary. So I wanted to follow up about one of the data pieces or assessment measures that I mentioned that's part of PCIT, and that's the DPICS. And that stands for Dyadic Parent-Child Interaction Coding System. And this is done in the beginning of treatment and in the middle of treatment, and it can also be done at discharge or when the family is going to graduate from treatment. And this is a 15-minute coding session that is part of that day's session, and it's broken down into 3 5-minute sections. So there's the child-led play that's about 5 minutes, a parent-led play about 5 minutes, and then a cleanup of 5 minutes. And during these 15-minute DPICS sessions, or sections of the session, again, you're taking data on specific types of parent behaviors, like the labeled praise, reflections, behavior descriptions, neutral talk, unlabeled praise, commands, questions, and negative talk. And so some of those behaviors I just mentioned, like the labeled praise and the reflection, those are things that you want to see more of over the course of treatment. And then some of those things, like unlabeled praise, you actually want to see less of because they're less meaningful than the labeled praise, right? So the difference there would be saying good job versus nice job cleaning up the blocks on your own. And then we also want to see less command giving and less question asking and definitely less negative talk. And so that is one piece, one assessment piece that's part of the program of PCIT. The other ones are some different child behavior inventories. So one assesses the intensity or the parent's perception of intensity of the child's behavior. And this is actually given each time that the family comes in. So again, that's something else that you're plotting over the course of treatment. And then there's also in some settings, and particularly in the one I was in, we also administered the parent stress inventory to again get a reading of the parent's stress level. Now, this was given at the beginning, the middle, and the end of treatment, not every time, like some of the other measures are. One of the other pieces of PCIT that's important to talk about is called home fun. And this is when you have the families come in. It's a typical therapy schedule. So once a week for about an hour session, you are right that that's not enough to make major change. So what you do is you talk about this idea of home fun, which is a lovely spin on the word homework. And it is when parents are given specific handouts and activity guidelines and are supposed to do 5 minutes of home fun with their child every day. And that's really to continue to build that parent-child dyad relationship outside of the therapy session. It also affords the parent time to practice some of the skills that they're using in PCIT, and they can make notes and then bring some of that back to the next therapy session to get guidance or support from their therapist. There's a weekly home fun sheet that goes home with the families, and part of the treatment adherence is to bring it back. And sometimes parents will be really excited to share that they've been able to do it. And when they haven't, it's a great opportunity to be able to talk about what are some of the barriers to participating in that treatment recommendation at home. So part of PCIT is that it's not a pre-prescribed set of time. So you really, and this is very behavior analytic in nature in my mind, is you train to mastery. So there are specific mastery criteria for the different skills that the parent is to demonstrate within certain periods of time. And so you only move on, or you only allow the family to move from CDI to PDI once they're demonstrating with consistency those desired skills. Remember those pride skills that I mentioned. And in addition to seeing those skills used, the other component is seeing less of those behaviors that I mentioned before. So that negative talk or that question asking, right? So only when those skills and behaviors are mastered do you move on to the second piece, or that PDI, that parent-directed intervention section of PCIT. Then once you get into PDI, or again, that parent-directed intervention, again, you're looking for mastery of specific skills. And then once the individual dyad, which I guess is sort of a, isn't the right way to say that since a dyad is two people, so it wouldn't be individual. But when that parent-child dyad has mastered those PDI behaviors, that's when you'd look at potentially discharging from PCIT, and there's like a little graduation that you do. Families are always encouraged to come back for booster sessions. I always use the analogy of a car, that my car runs really well, but if it starts making a noise or when it's 4,000 miles, then it's time for me to bring it back for a booster session. And so even from the beginning and the middle, we're always talking about that it doesn't just end and then you're done. You can always come back for additional support if you see some of those previously occurring disruptive behaviors occur, or if you as parent need some additional support to implement some of those skills that we've talked about. So again, PCIT is an evidence-based program. It is very behaviorally oriented. It is comprised of a parent and a child working together in a room with specific materials and setup, and the parent is wearing a bug in the ear, and there's a therapist on the other side, usually of a one-way glass, coaching the parent in real time to use the skills with their child that have been previously taught. PCIT is great for kids kind of age 3 to 6, although you can sort of increase and decrease that age gap or those age limits if needed. And so maybe you're thinking about, gosh, PCIT sounds awesome. I want to start doing that. And so I want to really talk about that it is a protocol and you can't just pick it up and start using it. So this is coming directly from parent-child interaction therapy, Cheryl Bodifold and McNeil, and then Tony Hembree-Kiggin. I hope I'm saying these names right. This is from Springer. I have the second edition. This is from their Issues in Clinical Child Psychology sort of series. There's a bunch of books about PCIT, and again, I'll put some of those in the case notes, but or in our transcripts from the session, case notes. Yeah, I'm in my therapy brain. So it is important to talk about that you do need specific training to be a PCIT therapist, and here are some of those minimum training requirements. It says training groups use different methods to teach PCIT, like once per week training, week-long workshops, distance training, video, co-therapy, a variety of different things. But there are basic requirements for PCIT training. To refer to oneself as a PCIT therapist, the training guidelines require that the following criteria must be met. At least 40 hours of face-to-face training in basic PCIT skills by a PCIT trainer. PCIT case experience with supervision consultation with a PCIT trainer. Approximately 16 hours of advanced PCIT skills training after some case experience, usually 2 to 6 months after the initial training. Mastery of the PCIT skills, which includes the different coding, the didactic sessions, the ECB or WACB, whichever of those measures you're going to use, the timeout sequence, all the different behaviors that the therapist is required to be fluent in to administer or facilitate PCIT sessions. And then successful completion of 2 PCIT cases. Treatment review of either live or videotaped sessions by a PCIT trainer, including CDI didactic, PDI didactic, and those are the 2 sessions where you're actually teaching the skills to the parent without the child present, and then CDI and PDI coaching, and those refer to when you're coaching the parent through a live session with the child. They talk about a minimum of a master's degree, and it is strongly encouraged to be licensed mental health clinicians. There is reference to social workers, counselors, psychologists, psychiatrists in this book, but I also think, or I wonder what the thought might be about having behavior analysts learn or participate in some of these treatment protocols. I think that some of the barriers have been that BCBAs often practice in silos, so not always as part of multi-specialty or multidisciplinary teams. And when we are, I think sometimes we get a less than good reputation for collaboration. And because PCIT trainers are typically not BCBAs, that may make it more difficult for BCBAs to access those training relationships, which, as I referenced, are pretty intensive, particularly to learn to implement PCIT. I also wonder if some of our coding, and not coding as part of the PCIT process, but our CPT codes, I wonder if some of the training or the activities that are part of PCIT would be classified appropriately under something like the 036465, right? Are they adaptive behavior treatments? And so then it may be good to go back to your CPT codes and really talk with your billing people and find out if that's appropriate. I also wonder if we would want to also take a look at our state licensure and our funding sources and really get clear about what is permitted and what does fall under the category or classification of those adaptive behavior modification or protocol, and versus what is a better fit for a mental health treatment. I know for myself, when I do facilitate PCIT in my practice, I have not done it as part of my behavior analysis practice, and it has been only part of my mental health practice. And I wonder if some of that is because when I learned it, again, it was on my pre-doc internship, so it was part of being in that therapy setting, and maybe also because it's less used for me in my practice for kids with ASD, although there are some, but also more in those other externalizing disorders. So oppositional defiant disorder, ODD, or ADHD. It's got a pretty good history of efficacy with kids who've been exposed to trauma or kids in foster care systems or newly adopted kiddos who have been newly adopted. And so while I've used components of PCIT when coaching parents, I also recognize that I more fully use the whole protocol with kids of differing diagnoses. So, as usual, the Business of Behavior podcast is here for you guys. So if there's things that you're wanting to learn about or things that you want to hear more of or less of, I encourage you to reach out and let me know. I'm always open to feedback. I see this podcast as a way to make available more supervision or maybe more mentorship, information sharing, because our field is such a young field and that there's not always enough mentors to go around for everyone. And so I hope that these information shares help expose people to material and content that maybe you haven't had previously. I also know that time is one of our most valuable resources because it is so limited. And so I want to give a big thank you to everybody who has chosen to spend the last 30 minutes here with me on the Business of Behavior podcast. This podcast came out as a sprout from the ABA Business Builders Facebook group, which came about to just create a safe and encouraging and supportive space for leaders in our field, both business owners, but also those who are supervisors and managers and really leaders of a variety of different types within our field, so that by supporting leadership and giving multiple exemplars of leadership, we can hopefully strengthen our field so that we can be around for a while. A reminder that in addition to being a board-certified behavior analyst, I am a licensed psychologist here in the state of North Carolina. I hope that you guys subscribe if you enjoyed this episode on iTunes, or download it from our website, or leave a review or feedback or anything like that. I really appreciate you guys taking the time today, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.